I'm going. As I take a couple steps toward the door, the headache-inducing country music playing in the small bar gradually gets louder and louder, and I know what's coming. I shouldn't have even come to this shitty bar in the first place. I should have gone straight to find Tessa instead. The patrons inside all start cheering, and I turn to see two of the middle-aged bartenders climb onto the bar top. This is so damn awkward. Entertaining, but still fucking weird.
You're going to miss the show,
Riley cackles. I'm about to say something, but I hear a sound behind me, and once again, I sense what's coming. As I turn, my mouth dries and my blood begins to boil instantly. Because as I do, Tessa stumbles in through the door of the little roadhouse. With him. Rather than rushing him like I'd like to do, I step back to the bar and say to the back of Riley's head, "She's here. With him. That's her." Riley takes her eyes off the old woman on the bar and turns. Her jaw drops.
Holy shit. She's hot.
I glare at her. Stop. Don't look at her like that.
Lillian said she was pretty, but fuck. Look at her big tit.
Don't finish that sentence. I stare at Tessa. She is fucking hot. I know this. But more importantly, she's drunk and she's laughing as she navigates through the high-topped tables. She chooses an empty one close to the bathroom and takes a seat. I'm going over there, I tell Riley. I don't have a fucking clue why I'm telling her anything, but part of me sort of wants to know what she'd do if she were in my shoes. I know Tessa is upset with me for a whole list of shit, and I don't exactly want to add anything else to it. She doesn't have any right to be mad at me anyway. She's the one hanging out with a random-ass guy from dinner, and now she comes stumbling in here drunk and laughing. With him.
Why don't you just wait? You know, watch her for a little bit,
Riley suggests.
What a fucking stupid idea. Why would I watch her hang all over that douchebag? She's mine, and...
Riley looks up at me with curious eyes.
Does she throw a fit when you call her yours?
No. She likes it, I think. At least she once told me she did.
Yours, Harden. Yours.
She moaned into my neck as I shifted my hips, burying myself deeper inside of her.
Lil gets so pissed off when I say that. She thinks I'm claiming her as property or something,
Riley says next to me. But all I can focus on is Tessa. The way she gathers her long hair in one hand and moves it to one shoulder. My anger is rising, my annoyance is growing, and my focus is blurring. How does she not know that I'm here? I can always tell when she enters a room. It's like the air changes and my body can literally feel hers coming near. She's too busy paying attention to him. He's probably telling her the proper way to pour water into a damn glass. Still looking at my girl, I say, "Well, Tess is mine, so I don't care what she thinks about being claimed."
Spoken like a true asshole,
Riley says, and looks over at Tessa.
You have to compromise, though. If she's anything like Lillian, she'll get sick of it, and you'll end up with an ultimatum.
What? I tear my eyes away from Tessa for a moment, and it's torture.
Lillian got sick of my shit and left me. She
lifts her glass toward Tessa.
Well, do the same thing, if you don't listen to what she wants, sometimes.
It's amazing how much cooler Lillian is than her girlfriend.
Okay. You don't know anything about our relationship, so you don't know what you're talking about.
I look back at Tessa, who is now sitting alone at the table, fiddling with a stray lock of hair and moving her shoulders to the music. After a second, I locate her waiter friend at the end of the bar, and my nerves calm slightly because of the distance between them.
Look, man, Riley says, I don't have to know the details. I've spent the last almost hour with you. I know that you're a dumbass, and she's a needy...
When I open my mouth to cuss her out, she just continues.
Lillian is too, so don't get all pissy over it. She's needy, and you know it. But you know what the best part about having a needy girlfriend is?
She gives a wicked smile.
Besides the frequent sex, of course.
Get to the point. I roll my eyes and look back to Tessa. Her cheeks are red and her eyes are wide in amusement as she watches the women finishing up their dance on the bar. Any second she'll see me standing here.
The best part is that they need us. Just not in the way you expect them to need you, though. They need us to be there for them sometimes, too. Lillian was always so caught up in trying to save me, or whatever the hell she was doing, that her needs weren't being met. I mean, I didn't even acknowledge her birthday. I didn't do shit for her. I thought I was, though, because I was around her and sometimes telling her that I love her. But it wasn't enough.
An unwelcome chill travels down my spine. I watch as Riley finishes the rest of her first drink. But she's with you now, right?
Yeah, but only because I showed her that she can depend on me, and that I'm not the same bitch I was when she met me.
She looks over at Tessa, then back to me.
You know that saying all the stupid girls are always posting online? I think it's like, while you're making... If you don't... Fuck. I can't remember. But basically it says, treat your girl well, or someone else will.
I don't treat her bad.
Not all the time, at least.
She barks out a disbelieving little laugh.
Dude, just own it. Look, I'm no saint. I still don't treat Lillian the way I should. But I own that shit. You are in some hardcore denial if you're sitting here thinking you don't treat her like shit. If you didn't, she wouldn't be sitting over there with that douche, who happens to be the exact opposite of you, and pretty damn hot.
I can't even argue with her. She's right, for the most part. I don't treat Tessa like shit all the time. Only when she does something to get me going. Like right now. And earlier.
She's looking,
Riley tells me, and my blood runs cold. I turn my head slowly in Tessa's direction. Her eyes are focused on mine, blazing, and I swear I see a hint of red in them as she looks at Riley and then back to me. She doesn't move. She doesn't even blink. Her stare turns from surprised to primal in an instant, and I'm taken aback by the murderous glare directed our way.
She's so pissed.
Riley laughs next to me, and it takes everything in me not to pour her backup drink over her head. Instead, I mumble, shut up, grab the drink, and walk toward Tessa. Her douchey waiter is still at the end of the bar by the time I reach her.
Whoa, I never thought I'd find you here, in a bar, drinking with another girl. Surprise, surprise,
she quips with a sarcastic smile. Why are you here? I ask, stepping closer to her. She leans away.
Why are you?
Tessa, I warn, and she rolls her eyes.
Not tonight, Harden. Not happening.
She climbs off of the tall chair and pulls her dress down. Don't walk away from me. My words come out as a command, but I know they're really a plea. I reach for her arm, but she pulls away.
Why not? That's what you always do to me.
She glares at Riley again.
We're both here with other people.
I shake my head.
Fuck, no, that's Lillian's girlfriend.
Her shoulders instantly relax.
Oh.
She looks into my eyes and pulls her bottom lip between her teeth. We need to leave now.
So go.
You and I clarify.
I'm not going anywhere except somewhere fun. More fun than this place, since you're here and you're always stopping my fun. You're like the fun police.
She smiles at her own stupid joke and continues.
That's exactly what you are. You're the fun police. I should really get you a badge made and you can wear it all around. You know, to stop everyone's fun.
She rambles and bursts into full-on giggles. Christ, she's fucking wasted.
How much did you drink?
I yell over the music. I thought it was going to die down, but apparently the elderly dancers have been goaded into an encore. She shrugs.
I don't know. A few. And this one, too.
She takes the cup from my hand before I can stop her, sets it on the table, and hoists herself back onto the chair.
Don't drink that. You're obviously smashed.
What's that sound?
She puts her hand to her ear.
Is that the siren of the fun police I hear? Wah, wah, wah.
For a second, she pouts like a child, then laughs.
Go away if you're going to be a fun sucker.
Tessa lifts the glass to her mouth and takes three large gulps. She swallowed half the drink in seconds.
You're going to get sick, I say.
Blah, blah, blah,
she mocks, tilting her head back and forth with each word. She looks past me, and a small smirk plays on her lips.
You know Robert, right?
I look to my side to find the asshole is standing next to me with a drink in each hand.
Nice to see you again,
Robert says, then half smiles. His eyes are bloodshot. He's drunk too. Did he take advantage of her? Did he kiss her? I take a deep breath. His father is the sheriff. His father is the sheriff. His father is the sheriff. His father is the fucking sheriff of this shithole of a town. I look back at Tessa and say over my shoulder, Go away! Tessa rolls her eyes. I forgot how ballsy she becomes when she has liquor in her veins.
Don't go,
she says, challenging me. And he sits down at the table.
Don't you have company to entertain?
She taunts.
No, I don't. Let's go home.
I'm barely controlling my temper. If this were any other night, Robert's face would be imprinted on the table by now.
That cabin isn't home. We're hours from home.
She finishes off the drink she stole from me. Then she gives me a look that somehow manages to mix loathing, drunk flippancy, and indifference.
Actually, as of Monday, I don't have a home anyway. Thanks to you.
Chapter 47. Tessa. Hardin's nostrils flare as he tries to control his temper. I glance over at Robert, who looks slightly uncomfortable, though not in the least bit intimidated by Hardin.
If you're purposely trying to make me angry, it's working,
Hardin says. I'm not. I just don't want to go. And right as the music cuts off, I practically yell, I want to drink and be young and have fun. Everyone turns to me. I'm not sure what to do with all the attention, so I awkwardly wave my hand in the air. Someone gives a hoot of approval, and half the bar raises their glasses in salute and then goes back to talking. The music resumes, and Robert laughs. Hardin glowers.
You've obviously had enough to drink,
he says, eyeing the now half-empty glass that Robert brought to me. Newsflash, Hardin. I'm an adult, I remark in a childish tone.
Damn it, Tessa. Maybe I should go.
Robert stands.
Obviously,
Hardin replies at the same time that I say, no. But then, looking around us, I let out a sigh. As much as I was enjoying my evening with Robert, I know that Hardin will stand here the entire time making rude remarks, threats, whatever he has to do to make him leave. It's better if he does go. I'm sorry, I'll go and you can stay, I tell Robert. He shakes his head with understanding.
No, no, don't worry about it. I had a long day anyway.
He's so calm and easygoing about everything. It's really refreshing. I'll walk you out, I tell him. I'm not sure if I'll ever see him again, and he's been so kind to me tonight.
No, you won't,
Hardin chimes in, but I ignore him and follow Robert toward the door of the small bar. When I look back at the table, Hardin is leaning against it with his eyes closed. I hope he's taking deep breaths in and out, because I'm in no mood for his crap tonight. Once we get outside, I turn to Robert. I really am sorry. I didn't know he was here. I was just trying to have a fun night. Robert smiles and slouches a little to better meet my eyes.
Remember when I said to stop apologizing for everything?
He reaches into his pocket and pulls out a small pad and pen.
I'm not expecting anything, but if someday you're bored and alone in Seattle, give me a call. Or not. It's up to you if you want to or not.
He writes something down, then hands it to me. Okay. I don't want to make any promises that I can't keep, so I just smile and tuck the small paper into the top of my dress. Sorry, I squeak when I realize that I basically just fondled myself in front of him.
Stop saying sorry,
he laughs,
and especially not for that.
He looks at the entrance to the bar, then out at the dark, dark night.
Well, I better go. It was nice to meet you. Maybe we'll see one another again.
I nod and smile as he walks down the sidewalk.
It's cold out here,
Harden's voice says behind me, scaring the shit out of me. I huff and walk past him back into the bar. The table that I was sitting at is now taken by a bald man and his supersized mug of beer. I grab my purse off the stool next to him, and he just gives me a dead-eyed look, or rather gives my breasts one. Harden is behind me, again.
Let's just go, please.
I step over to the bar area. Can I just get 2 feet of space? I don't even want to be around you right now. You said some pretty hateful things to me, I remind him.
You know I didn't mean them,
he answers, defending himself, attempting to make eye contact with me. I'm not falling for it. That doesn't mean you can say them. I look over at the girl, Lillian's girlfriend, who's watching Harden and me from the bar. I don't want to talk about it right now. I was having a nice night, and you aren't ruining it. Harden steps in between us.
So you don't want me here?
His eyes flash with hurt, and something in their green depths makes me backtrack. I'm not saying that, but if you're going to tell me that you don't love me or how you use me for sex again, then you need to go, or I will. I'm trying my hardest to keep my bubbly, giggly attitude instead of sinking down and letting the pain and frustration take over.
You are the one who started all this shit when you came here with him. Drunk, might I add,
he begins. I sigh. Here we go. Harden is the king of double standards. His latest one is walking toward us now.
Jesus, would you two shut up? We're in a public place.
The beautiful girl that Harden was sitting with interrupts us.
Not now,
Harden snaps at her. Come on, Harden's obsession. Let's take a seat at the bar, she says, ignoring him. Sitting at a table toward the back of the bar and having a drink brought to me is one thing. Sitting at the bar tap and ordering my own is another. I'm not old enough, I inform her.
Oh, please. With that dress on, you'll get a drink.
She stares at my chest, and I pull the front up slightly. If I get kicked out, it's your fault, I tell her, and she tips her head back in laughter.
I'll bail you out of jail.
She winks, and Harden stiffens next to me. He watches her with warning in his eyes, and I can't help but laugh. He tried to make me jealous with Lillian all night, and now he's jealous of Lillian's girlfriend winking at me. All of this juvenile back and forth. He's jealous, I'm jealous, the old lady at the bar is jealous, everyone is jealous. It's annoying. Slightly entertaining, especially now, but still annoying.
My name is Riley, by the way.
She takes a seat at the end of the bar.
I'm sure your rude-ass boyfriend isn't planning on introducing us.
I glance back at Harden, expecting him to cuss her out, but he only rolls his eyes, which is pretty restrained for him. He tries to sit at the stool between us, but I grab the back, then place my hand on his arm to help myself get up onto it. I know I shouldn't be touching him, but I want to sit here and enjoy my last night of this mini-vacation-turned-disaster. Harden has scared away my new friend, and Landon is probably already asleep by now. I don't have any other options except sitting alone in the room back at the cabin. This seems better.
What can I get you?
A copper-haired bartender in a jean jacket asks me.
We'll have 3 shots of Jack. Chill them first,
Riley answers for me. The woman scans my face for a few seconds, and my heart begins to race.
Coming up,
she says finally, and pulls 3 shot glasses from under the bar and places them in front of us.
I wasn't going to drink. I only had 1 before you came.
Harden leans over and says into my ear, Drink what you want. I am, I say without looking at him. Still, I silently pray that he doesn't get too drunk. I never know how he'll act.
I can see that,
he says by way of scolding me. I look at him with scorn, but end up staring at his mouth instead. Sometimes I just sit and stare at the slow movements of his lips when he talks. It's one of my favorite things to do. Perhaps noticing I've softened somewhat, he asks,
"Are you upset with me still?"
"Yes, very."
"Then why are you acting like you aren't?"
His lips move even slower. I really need to find out the name of that wine. It was really good. "I already told you I want to have fun," I repeat. "Are you mad at me?"
"I always am,"
he replies. I laugh a little. Isn't that the truth?
"What did you say?"
"Nothing." I smile innocently and watch him rub the back of his neck with his hand, pinching the top of his shoulders between his thumb and forefinger. A shot of brown liquor is placed in front of me seconds later, and Riley raises her shot glass to harden in me.
"Here's to dysfunctional, borderline psychotic relationships."
She smirks and tilts her head back to take her shot. Harden follows her lead. I take a deep breath before welcoming the cool burn of whiskey down my throat.
"One more,"
Riley cheers, sliding another shot in front of me. "I don't know if I can," I slur. "I've never been this drunk. Never, never." The whiskey has officially taken over my mind, set up camp, and doesn't appear to be leaving anytime soon. Harden is up to 5 shots. I lost count of mine after 3, and I'm pretty sure Riley should be heaving on the floor from alcohol poisoning by now. "I feel like this whiskey tastes good," I remark, dipping my tongue into the chilled shot. Next to me, Harden laughs, and I lean into his shoulder and put my hand on his thigh. His eyes immediately follow my hand, and I quickly pull it away. I shouldn't be acting like nothing happened earlier. I know I shouldn't, but it's easier said than done, especially when I can barely think straight and Harden looks so good in his white button-down shirt. I'll deal with our problems tomorrow.
"See, all you needed was a little whiskey to loosen up."
Riley slams her empty shot glass on the bar top, and I giggle.
"What?"
she barks. "You and Harden are the same." I cover my mouth to conceal my obnoxious giggles.
"No, we aren't,"
Harden says, speaking at that slower pace he resorts to when he's intoxicated. So does Riley. "Yes, you are. It's like a mirror," I laugh. "Does Lillian know you're here?" I swing my head to the side and ask her.
"Nope. She's asleep for now."
She licks her lips.
"But I fully intend on waking her up when I return."
The music starts to increase in volume again, and I watch the copper-haired woman climb onto the bar for probably the 4th time tonight.
"Again?"
Harden scrunches his nose, and I laugh. I think it's funny. I think everything is funny right now.
"I think it's lame, and it interrupts me every 30 minutes.
He gripes.
"You should go up there."
Riley nudges me. "Up where?"
"The bar. You should dance on the bar."
I shake my head and laugh, and blush. "No way.
Come on. You've been whining about being young and having fun or whatever the hell you were going on and on about. Now's your chance. Dance on the bar."
"I can't dance." It's true. I've only danced, excluding slow dancing, once, and that was at the nightclub in Seattle.
"No one will notice. They're all even more wasted than you."
She raises a brow, challenging me.
"No fucking way,"
Harden says. Through my drunken haze, I remember one thing. I'm sure as hell done letting him tell me what I can and can't do. Without a word, I reach down and unfasten the horribly uncomfortable straps around my ankles and let my high heels drop to the floor. Harden's eyes are wide as I climb on top of the stool, then onto the bar.
"What are you doing?"
He stands and looks behind us as the few patrons left in the bar begin to cheer.
"Tess."
The song gets louder, and the woman who has been serving us drinks smiles wickedly at me and takes my hand.
"Do you know any line dances, honey?"
she yells. I shake my head, suddenly unsure of myself.
"I'll teach you,"
she yells. What the hell was I thinking? I just wanted to prove a point to Harden, and look where it got me. On top of a bar, getting ready to attempt a dance of some kind. I'm not even sure what a line dance is exactly. If I'd known I was going to be up here, I would have planned it out better and paid more attention to the women when they were dancing earlier.
Chapter 48. Harden. Riley's looking up at Tessa standing in front of her on the bar.
"Damn! I didn't think she would actually do it," she calls.
Neither did I. But then again, she seems determined to push my buttons tonight. Riley looks at me, her face aglow. She's quite the wild child. No, she's not. I quietly disagree. Tessa looks mortified, obviously second-guessing her impulsive decision. I'm going to help her down. I begin to lift my hand up, but Riley smacks it down.
Let her do it, man.
I look at Tessa again. The woman who made our drinks is speaking to her, but I can't make out what she's saying. This is absolute bullshit. Her dancing on a bar in a short-ass dress. If I was to lean onto the bar, I could see up her dress, as can anyone else at the bar. It occurs to me that Riley probably already is. I glance down the bar both ways. Take note that neither of the greasy men at the opposite end are eyeing her. Yet. Tessa watches the woman next to her, her brows furrowed in concentration. Completely the opposite of her sudden need to be wild. She follows the movements of the old gal and kicks out one of her legs, then the other, followed by a swift movement of her hips.
Sit down and enjoy the show,
Riley says next to me, sliding over one of her backup drinks. I'm drunk, too drunk, but my mind is clear as I watch Tessa begin to move. Really fucking move. Her hands go to her hips, and she finally smiles, no longer caring that she has the full attention of almost everyone in the bar. Her eyes meet mine, and she fumbles her dance moves momentarily, before collecting herself and directing her eyes to the back of the room.
Hard, isn't it?
Riley smiles next to me as she brings her glass to her lips. Yes, obviously. Watching Tessa on the bar is hot as hell, but it's also infuriating and unexpected. The first thought that comes to mind is, fuck, this is hot. The second thought is that I shouldn't be so engrossed in it and should be irritated at her constant need to defy me. But I can't think straight because of that first thought and the fact that she's dancing right in front of me. The way her dress is riding up her thighs, the way she's holding her hair back in one hand and laughing while trying to keep up with the woman next to her. I love to see her this way, so carefree. I don't see her laugh like that very often. A thin layer of sweat has coated her body, making her glow under the spotlights. I shift uncomfortably and pull the ridiculous dress shirt I'm wearing down in the front a little.
Uh-oh,
Riley says.
What?
I snap out of my trance and follow her eyes down the bar. Two men at the end of the bar are gawking at Tessa. And by gawking, I mean their fucking eyes are bulging worse than my fucking dick right now.
I look back up at Tessa, and her dress is dangerously high on her thighs. Each time she kicks her legs out in front of her, it goes a little higher. That's enough of this shit.
Easy, killer,
Riley says.
The song will be over in...
And then she raises her hand and waves it as the music fades.
Chapter 49, Tessa. Hardin's hand reaches for mine to aid me, and I'm surprised. By the way he was scowling and pouting the entire time I was dancing, I thought he'd be yelling by now. Or worse, I was half expecting him to climb up and drag me off the bar, then start a brawl with all the customers. See, no one noticed that you're a shitty dancer. Riley laughs, and I sit down on the cool bar top. That was actually so much fun, I yell, and once again the music stops. I laugh and jump down from the bar, Hardin's arm wrapped protectively around me until I'm steady enough for him to retreat. You should get up there next time, I say into Hardin's ear, and he shakes his head.
No,
he says solemnly. Don't pout. It's not cute. I reach out and touch his lips. It is cute, though, the way his bottom lip sticks out. His eyes shine at the contact, and my pulse quickens. I already feel high from the adrenaline that came from dancing on the bar top. Something I never in my life thought I would do. As much fun as it was, I know I'll never do it again. Hardin sits down on the bar stool, and I stay standing between him and Riley next to my empty stool.
You love it.
He smiles, my fingers still pressed against his lips. Your lips? I say with a smirk. He shakes his head. He's playful yet very serious at the same time, and it's intoxicating. He's intoxicating, and I'm highly intoxicated. This should be interesting.
No, pissing me off. You love to piss me off.
His tone is dry. No, you just get pissed off too easily.
You were dancing on a bar in front of a room full of people.
His face is mere inches from mine, and his breath is a heady combination of mint and whiskey.
Obviously that would get to me, Tessa. You're lucky I didn't pull you down, put you over my shoulder, and carry you out of this place.
Over your shoulder, not your knee, I tease, and stare into his eyes, completely disarming him.
What?
He stutters. I laugh before turning to Riley.
Don't let him fool you. He loved that shit.
She whispers to me, and I nod. My stomach tightens at the thought of Hardin watching me, but my mind tries to overrule my dirty thoughts. I should be fuming. I should be ignoring him or yelling at him over sabotaging Seattle for me again, or for the hurtful words he said to me. But it's nearly impossible to be pissed off when I'm this drunk. I allow myself to pretend that none of that happened, at least for now, and imagine that Hardin and I are a normal couple out with our friend having a drink. No lies, no dramatic fights, only fun and table dancing. I still can't believe I actually did that, I say to both of them.
Me either,
Hardin grumbles. I won't be doing it again, that's for sure. I swipe my hand across my forehead. I'm sweaty and it's hot in the small bar. The air is thick and I need to breathe.
What's wrong?
He asks. Nothing. It's hot. I fan myself with my hand and he nods once.
Let's go then before you pass out.
No, I want to stay longer. I'm such having fun. I mean, such a fun time.
You can't even form a coherent sentence.
So? Maybe I don't want to. Either you loosen up or you can go.
You...
He begins, but I cover his mouth with my palm. Shh. For once, just shh. Let's have fun. I use my other hand to touch his thigh again, squeezing this time.
Fine,
he says into my hand. I uncover his mouth, but I keep my hand inches away so I can cover it again if I need to.
No more dancing on the bar,
he says, gently negotiating. Fine. No more pouting or scowling, I fire back. He smiles.
Fine.
Stop saying fine. I bite back a grin. He nods.
Fine.
You're annoying-ish.
Annoying-ish? What would your literature professor say to that kind of grammar?
Hardin's eyes are deep jade, alight with humor, splashed bloodshot from the liquor. You're funny sometimes. I lean into him. He hooks his arm around my waist and brings me between his legs.
Sometimes?
He kisses my hair and I relax in his grip. Yep, only sometimes. He chuckles and doesn't let me go. I don't think I want him to. I know I should, but I don't. He's drunk and playful, and the alcohol in my system makes me lose sight of all common sense. As always.
Look at the two of you getting along.
Riley holds her hands up to us like we're on display.
She's so annoying.
Hardin huffs. Twins! I laugh, and he shakes his head at me.
Last call.
My new friend calls from behind the bar. In the last hour, I have learned that her name is Cammie, that she's nearly 50, and that she just had her first grandchild in December. She shoved some printed pictures in my face, like every grandmother does, and I praised them, telling her how beautiful the child is. Hardin barely glanced at the images. Instead, he started mumbling something about trolls, and so I quickly pulled the picture away from him before Cammie heard. I sway from side to side. One more, and I'm so done.
I don't know how you haven't passed out yet,
Riley exclaims with obvious admiration. I do. Hardin has been taking my drinks from me halfway through and finishing them himself. You've been drinking more than anyone. Probably more than him, I slur, pointing to the man at the end of the bar who has literally passed out with his head on top of the bar. I wish Lillian could have came with us, I say, and Hardin crinkles his nose.
I thought you hated her,
he asks, and Riley snaps her head to me. I don't hate her, I correct him. I didn't like her when you were trying to make me jealous by hanging out with her. Riley tenses, looking at Hardin beside me.
What?
Shit. Don't back away now, darling, she presses. I'm trapped and drunk and have no idea what the hell to say. I don't want to make her mad, that's for sure.
Nothing,
Harden says to her and holds up a hand.
I was being a dick and didn't tell Tessa that she was gay. You already know that.
Her shoulders relax.
Oh, okay then.
Jeez, she's just like him.
See, nothing happened, so chill out,
Harden says to her. I'm chill. Trust me. She coos and moves her stool slightly closer to mine. Nothing wrong with a little jealousy, right? Riley looks at me with a glint in her drunken gaze.
Have you ever kissed a girl, Tessa?
My scalp prickles and I gasp dramatically. What?
Riley, what the...
Harden says, but she cuts him off. I'm only asking a question. Have you ever kissed a girl? No.
Have you ever thought about it?
Drunk or not, I feel the embarrassment creeping onto my cheeks.
Being with a girl is much better, honestly. They're soft.
Her hand moves to my arm.
They know exactly what you want, where you want it.
Harden reaches up and swipes her hand from my skin.
Enough,
he growls, and I pull my arm away. Riley breaks into uncontrollable laughter.
I'm sorry. I couldn't resist. He started it.
She nods toward Harden through her convulsions and then stops to look at him with a big smile.
I warned you earlier not to fuck with me.
I let out a breath, extremely relieved that she was only trying to get a rise out of Harden. A giggle bursts from my mouth and Harden looks mortified, pissed off, and maybe slightly turned on?
You're paying for the drinks since you want to be an asshole,
Harden says, pushing the long piece of paper past me and in front of her. Riley rolls her eyes and reaches into her back pocket, pulling out a card and placing it on top of the receipt. Cammy quickly swipes it and goes to attend to the passed-out man at the other end of the bar. As we get to the door, Riley announces,
Well, we closed down the bar. Lil is going to be pissed.
Harden holds the door for me to walk out. He almost closes it in her face, but I reach out to stop it and give him a hard glare. He laughs and shrugs as if he did nothing wrong, and I can't stop the smile on my face. He's a jerk, but he's my jerk. Isn't he? Nothing's for certain, but I sure as hell don't want to think about that while walking back to the cabin at 2 a.m. Will she still be asleep? I ask Riley.
I sure as hell hope so.
I hope everyone in our cabin is asleep, too. The last thing I want is for Ken or Karen to be awake as we stumble through the front door.
What? Are you afraid she'll scold you or something?
Harden taunts her.
No. Well, yes. I don't want to upset her. I'm already skating on thin ice.
Why? I ask nosily.
Doesn't matter,
Harden says, dismissing me and leaving Riley lost in thought. The remainder of the walk is spent in near silence. I count my steps and laugh occasionally when I recall my bar dancing experience. When we reach Max's cabin, Riley hesitates before departing.
It was nice to meet you,
she says. I can't help but laugh at the comical way she scrunches her face as if the words taste sour coming out of her mouth. I smile. You too. It was fun. For a moment, I think about hugging her, but that would be awkward, and I get the feeling Harden wouldn't like it at all.
Bye,
Harden simply states, without stopping. When we're almost to the cabin, it hits me how tired I am, and how I'm so thankful to be close. My feet are aching, and the harsh fabric of this itchy, uncomfortable dress has surely scratched my skin. My feet hurt, I whine.
Come here. I'll carry you.
Harden offers. What? I giggle. He smiles uncertainly.
Why are you looking at me like that?
You just offered to carry me.
And?
It's just unlike you, that's all. I shrug and he steps closer, hooks his arm under my legs and lifts me into his arms.
I would do anything for you, Tessa. You shouldn't be surprised that I'd carry you up a damn driveway.
I don't speak, I just laugh. Hard. Uncontrollable laughter racks my body. I cover my mouth to stop it, but it doesn't help one bit.
Why are you laughing?
His face is stone, serious and intimidating. I don't know. That was just funny, I say. We reach the porch and he shifts me slightly so he can turn the knob on the door.
Me telling you that I'd do anything for you is funny?
You'll do anything for me, except go to Seattle, marry me, or have children with me? Even in my drunkenness, the irony is not lost on me.
Don't start with me. We're too drunk to have this conversation right now.
Ooh, I immaturely remark, knowing that he's right. Hardin shakes his head and walks up the stairs. I latch onto his neck, and he smiles down at me despite his curt behavior. Don't drop me, I whisper, and he lets go of me just enough to slide me down his torso. I turn and wrap my legs around his waist, letting out a small yelp as I cling to his body.
Shh, if I was going to drop you, he threatens, it would be from the top.
I do my best to look appalled. A wicked grin spreads over his face, and I lean up and stick my tongue out at him, touching the end of his nose with it. I blame the whiskey. At the end of the hall, a light clicks on, and Hardin hurries to the room we're sharing.
You woke them up,
he says, and places me on the bed. I lean down to remove my shoes, rubbing my sore ankles as I drop the monstrous shoes to the floor. Your fault, I say, and walk past him and open the dresser drawer to dig out something more comfortable to sleep in. This dress is killing me, I groan, reaching behind me to unzip it. It was much easier to zip it when I was sober.
Here.
Hardin moves behind me and brushes my hand aside.
What the hell?
What? His fingers trace over my skin, raising goosebumps.
Your skin is red, like the dress left these marks on you.
He touches a spot under my shoulder blade and pushes the fabric down my back until it hits the floor. It was really uncomfortable, I whine.
I can see that.
He circles me with hungry eyes.
Nothing is supposed to be marking you except me.
I gulp. He's drunk, playful, and his dark eyes give away exactly what he's thinking.
Come here.
He steps toward me, closing the small gap between us. He's fully dressed, and I'm only in a bra and panties. I shake my head. No. I know there's something I have to say to him. I just can't recall what it is. I can barely remember my name when he's looking at me this way.
Yes,
he counters, and I back away. I'm not having sex with you. He grabs me by the arm and pushes his free hand into my hair, gently tugging at it so I'm forced to look up at him. His breath fans across my face, his lips only inches from mine.
And why is that?
He asks. Because. My mind scrambles for answers as my subconscious begs for the rest of my clothes to be torn off. I'm upset with you.
So? I'm upset with you, too.
His lips graze over my skin, trailing along my jawline. My knees are weak. My mind is heavy and cloudy. I crinkle my brow and ask, why would you be? I didn't do anything. My stomach clenches when his hands move to my backside, squeezing and kneading slowly.
Your little show on the bar was enough to send me to the fucking madhouse, not to mention the fact that you were parading around town with that fucking waiter. You disrespected me in front of everyone by staying with him.
His tone is threatening, but his lips are soft as they travel down to my neck.
I want you so bad. I wanted you at that shitty bar. After watching you dance like that, I wanted to take you into the bathroom and fuck you against the wall.
He presses himself against me, and I can feel how hard he is. As much as I want him, I can't allow him to blame everything on me. You... I close my eyes, relishing the feeling of his hands on me, his lips on me. You are the one. I can't form a solid thought, let alone make a sentence. Stop it. I grab his hands to stop them from groping me further. His eyes flash and he drops his hands to his sides.
You don't want me?
Of course I do. I always do. I'm supposed to be mad.
Be mad tomorrow,
he says with that evil grin of his. I always do that. I need to... Shh. He covers my mouth with his lips and kisses me. Hard. My lips part, and he takes full advantage, tugging at my hair once more, dipping his tongue into my mouth, and pulling me as close to his body as possible.
Touch me,
he begs, reaching for my hands. I don't have to be told twice. I want to touch him, and he needs the reassurance. This is the way we deal with things, and as unhealthy as it is, it doesn't feel that way when he's kissing me like this and begging me to put my hands on him. I fumble for the buttons on his shirt, and he groans impatiently, using both hands to tug at either side of it, popping off the buttons. I liked that shirt, I say into his mouth, and he smiles, his lips against mine.
I hated it.
I push the fabric down past his shoulders and let it fall to the floor. His tongue is slow in my mouth, and I'm melting in his arms at the rough yet incredibly sweet kiss. I feel the anger and frustration behind his lips, but he does his best to hide it. He's always hiding.
I know you'll leave me soon,
he says, moving his lips down to my neck again. What? I pull back a little, surprised by his words and confused. My heart aches for him, the liquor making me even more sympathetic toward his feelings. I love him. I love him so much. But he makes me feel so weak, so vulnerable. The moment I allow myself to believe he's worried, sad, or upset in any way, it's like all my emotions shift, only focusing on him and not myself or how I feel.
I love you so,
he whispers, dragging his thumb slowly across my lips. His bare chest and torso look heavenly against his black jeans, and I know I'm at his complete mercy. Harden, what?
Let's talk later. I want to feel you.
He guides me to the bed, and I try to ignore my mind screaming at me to stop him, not to give in to him. I can't, though. I'm not strong enough to stop myself when his calloused hands are running up my thighs, pushing them open slightly, when he's teasing me with an index finger running over my panties. Condom, I pant, and his bloodshot eyes meet mine.
What if we don't use one? What if I come inside of you? You wouldn't be...
But he stops himself, and I'm glad. I don't think I'm prepared for whatever it was he was going to say. He lifts himself off of me, stands to his feet, and saunters over to the suitcase on the floor. I lie back, staring at the ceiling, trying to sift through my drunken thoughts. Do I really need Seattle? Is Seattle important enough to me to lose Harden? The pain that courses through me at the thought is nearly unbearable.
Are you fucking kidding me?
He says from across the room. When I sit up, he's staring down at a small piece of paper in his hand.
What the fuck is this?
He asks as his eyes meet mine. What? I look down at the floor. My dress lies in a pile in the dark hardwood with my shoes. At first I'm a little confused, but then I look down and see my bra lying on the floor. Shit. I hop up quickly and attempt to grab the paper from him.
Don't play stupid with me. You got his fucking number?
He gapes, holding the paper above his head so I have no chance of taking it back. It wasn't like that. I was mad and he was...
Bullshit,
he shouts. Here we go. I know that look. I still remember the first time I saw that look on his face. He was pushing over the cabinet at his father's house the first time I saw his face twisted in anger this way. Harden...
Go on, call him. Let him fuck you, because I sure as hell don't want to.
Don't overreact, I beg. I'm too drunk to get into a screaming match with him.
Overreact? I just found another guy's number in your dress,
he hisses through his teeth, jaw clenched in annoyance. You aren't innocent here either, I remark as he paces back and forth. If you're going to yell at me, save your breath. I'm done fighting with you every single day, I say with a sigh. He points at me angrily.
You do this. You're the one that constantly enrages me. It's your fault that I'm like this, and you know it.
No. No, it's not. I struggle to keep my voice down. You can't blame everything on me. We both make mistakes.
No, you make mistakes. A shit ton of them, and I'm sick of it.
He tugs at his hair.
You think I want to be this way? Fuck no, I don't. You do this to me.
I stay quiet.
Go on, cry,
he says, mocking me. I'm not going to cry. His eyes go wide.
Well, surprise, surprise.
He claps his hands in the most degrading way possible. I laugh, which stops him.
Why are you laughing?
He stares at me for a beat.
Answer me.
I shake my head. You're fucked up. I mean, colossally fucked up.
And you're a selfish bitch. What else is new?
He snaps, and my laughter comes to an abrupt halt. I rise from the bed without a word, without a tear, and grab a t-shirt and shorts from the drawer. I pull them on hastily as he watches me.
Where do you think you're going?
He asks. Leave me alone.
No, come here.
He reaches for me, and I desperately want to slap him, but I know he'll stop me. No, get off of me. I shake my arm from his grip. I'm done. I'm so done with this back and forth. I'm tired and exhausted, and I don't want to do it anymore. You don't love me. You want to possess me, and I won't let you. I look straight into his brilliant green eyes, straight through them, and say, "You're broken, Hardin, and I can't fix you." His face falls at the realization of what he's done to me and to himself, and he stands in front of me with all emotion pulled out of him. His shoulders sink, and his eyes are no longer brilliant as he stares back at me, finally seeing a blank expression mirrored back at him. I have nothing left to say. He has nothing left to break inside of me or himself. And by the way the color has drained from his face, he's finally realized it. Chapter 50. Tessa. Landon opens the door, rubbing his eyes. He's half-dressed, wearing only plaid pants, no shirt or socks. "Can I sleep in here?" I ask him, and he nods drowsily, not asking any questions. "I'm sorry for waking you up," I whisper to him.
"It's okay,"
he mumbles and stumbles back to the bed.
"Here, you can have this one. The other is flat."
He pushes a fluffy white pillow against my chest. I smile, hugging the pillow close and sitting on the edge of the bed. "This is why I love you. Well, not the only reason, but one of them."
"Because I gave you the best pillow?"
His smile is even more adorable when laced with sleep. "No, because you're always here for me. And you have soft pillows. My voice is so slow when I'm drunk. It's odd." Landon lies back on the bed and moves his body over so that there's plenty of room for me on the other side.
"Is he going to come in here after you?"
he asks quietly. "I don't think so." The moment of humor that came with Landon and his soft pillows has been replaced by the ache of Hardin and the words we exchanged moments ago. I lie down on my side and look over at Landon lying next to me. "Remember when you said he isn't a lost cause?" I whisper.
"Yeah."
"Do you really believe that?"
"Yeah, I do."
He pauses.
"Unless he did something else."
"No, well, nothing new, really. I don't know if I can do it anymore. We keep moving backward, and we shouldn't be. Every single time I think we're making progress, he becomes that same Hardin I met 6 months ago. He calls me a selfish bitch, or basically tells me he doesn't love me, and I know he doesn't mean the words, but every syllable crushes me a little more than the last. And I think I'm starting to understand that this really is just the way he is. He can't help it, but he can't change it either." Landon watches me with thoughtful eyes before his mouth turns to a frown.
"He called you a bitch? Tonight?"
I nod and he sighs heavily, running his hand over his face. "I was saying hurtful things to him, too." I hiccup. The heavy combination of wine and whiskey is going to haunt me tomorrow, I know it.
"He shouldn't call you out of your name. He's a man and you're a woman. It's never okay, Tessa. Please don't make excuses for him."
"I'm not. But that's exactly what I'm doing." I sigh. "I think this is all about Seattle. He went from getting a tattoo for me and telling me that he can't live without me to telling me he only chases me because I fuck him. Oh my gosh. I'm sorry, Landon." I cover my face with my hands. I cannot believe I just said that in front of him.
"It's okay. You did just fish your underwear out of the hot tub, remember?"
He grins, lightening the conversation, and I hope that the relative darkness of the room at least hides my blushing. This trip has been a disaster. I shake my head, pressing it against the cool pillow.
"Maybe not. Maybe this is what you two needed."
"To break up?"
"No. Is that what happened?"
He lays another pillow next to me. "I don't know." I bury my face further.
"Is that what you want?"
he asks delicately. "No, but it's what I should want. It's not fair to either of us to keep doing this day in and day out. I'm not innocent here either. I always expect too much from him. My mother's flaws have been passed down to me. She expects too much from everyone, too." Landon shifts a little.
"There isn't anything wrong with expecting things from him, especially when the things that you expect from him are reasonable,"
he replies.
"He has to see what he has. You're the best thing that's ever happened to him. He needs to remember that."
He said that it's my fault, that he is the way he is. All I want is for him to be kind to me at least half the time. And I want security in our relationship, that's all. It's pathetic, really. I groan, my voice breaks, and I can still taste the whiskey laced with Hardin's mint on my tongue. Would you go to Seattle if you were me? I can't help but think I should just call it off and stay here, or go with him to England. If he's acting like this because I'm going to Seattle, maybe I should...
You can't not go,
Landon interrupts.
You've been gushing over Seattle since the day I met you. If Hardin won't go with you, then that's his loss. Besides, I give him a week of you being gone before he shows up at your doorstep. You can't give in on this. He has to know that you're serious this time. You have to let him miss you.
I smile while envisioning Hardin showing up a week after I leave, desperately begging for my forgiveness with lilies in his hand. I don't even have a doorstep for him to show up on.
That was him, wasn't it? The reason that woman wasn't calling you back?
Yeah.
I knew it. Realtors don't just not return calls. You have to go. Ken will help you find somewhere to stay until you find a permanent place.
What if he doesn't come after all? And worse, what if he does come, but he's even more angry because he hates it there?
Tessa, I'm only saying this because I care about you, okay?
He waits for my response, and I nod.
You'd have to be insane to give up Seattle for someone who loves you more than anything, but is only willing to show it half of the time.
I think about Hardin saying that I make all the mistakes, that I make him act the way he does. Do you think he'd be better off without me? I ask Landon. He sits up a little and says,
No, heck no. But seeing as I know you don't tell me even half of the messed up things he says to you, maybe it really isn't going to work.
Reaching across the empty space between us, his hand touches my arm and he rubs slowly. Using the alcohol in my veins as an excuse, I grant myself permission to ignore the fact that Landon, one of the only people who actually had faith in my relationship with Hardin, has just thrown in the towel. I'm going to feel like hell tomorrow, I say, to change the subject before I break the promise that I made with myself not to cry.
Yeah, you are,
he teases.
You smell like a liquor cabinet.
I met Lillian's girlfriend. She kept giving me shots. Oh, and I danced on a bar. He gasps gleefully.
You didn't.
I did. It was so embarrassing. It was Riley's idea. She's interesting. Landon smiles and seems to notice his fingertips still running over my skin. He pulls them away and tucks his arm under his head. She's the female version of Hardin, I laugh.
She is? No wonder she sounds so annoying,
he teases, and in a moment of drunken insanity, I glance over to the door, expecting to see Hardin there with a deep scowl after hearing Landon's playful insult. You make me forget about everything. My mouth releases the words before my mind can catch up.
I'm glad.
My best friend smiles and grabs the blanket at the foot of the bed. He pulls it up over both of our bodies, and I close my eyes. Minutes pass in silence, and my mind is putting up a fight as sleep tries to pull me under. Landon's breathing slows, and I have to keep my eyes closed and pretend that it's Hardin's breathing next to me, or my mind will never surrender. Hardin's angry scowl and harsh words float through my hazy thoughts as I finally fall asleep. You're a selfish bitch.
No!
Hardin's voice startles me awake. It takes a moment to remember that I'm in Landon's room and Hardin is down the hall alone.
Get off of her.
His voice echoes down the hallway seconds later. I'm out of bed and at the door before he even finishes the sentence. He has to see what he has. He has to know that you're serious this time. You have to let him miss you. If I go rushing into that room, I know I'll forgive everything. I'll see him feeling vulnerable and afraid, and I'll say whatever he needs to hear to comfort him. I pick my heart up off of the floor and walk back to the bed. I place the pillow over my head, just as another,
No!
rips through the cabin.
Tessa, are you?
Landon whispers. No, I reply, my voice cracking at the end. I bite down on the pillow and break my own promise. I begin to cry. Not for myself. The tears are for Hardin. For the boy who doesn't know how to treat the people that he cares about. The boy who has nightmares when I'm not in bed with him, but who tells me that he doesn't love me. The boy who really does need to be reminded how it feels to be alone.
Chapter 51. Harden. They won't stop. They won't stop touching her. His dirty, wrinkled hands run up her thighs, and she whimpers as the other man fists